This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Well, good morning to you. Last presentation for the break, and I promised my chair here that will be short, sweet, and efficient. So what I'm going to do is give you the case study of Maastricht University with regard to student recruitment, and especially also recruitment from the UK. And as we were asked also to provide some insight of what Bologna brought in kind of benefit to Maastricht University, I will touch upon that as well in the topic on internationalization. But first, let me give you some facts about Maastricht University. And as you can see, Maastricht is sort of situated, as we would like to say, in the heart of Europe. And it actually took me less than an hour to get to London. And then, of course, it took me 2 hours from Stansted to Victoria Station. But this is what we see quite often, that as parents, when they, for instance, from the UK, but also from France and from Berlin, and we had one in yesterday from Spain, when they say, we want to come and study in Maastricht, they just take the plane, they're there within an hour, 1 hour and a half, and they are already at our university. We are a modern university, research university, in a very sort of nice, small, historic town, and that's really attractive for our students. I show you two slides with pictures to give you an idea of this. This is the sort of the historic part of Maastricht University with the buildings where you see the library, for instance. In this one here, and we go back here, we have two libraries. Here, this one, I'm getting it. This is the main building, sort of the inside where the executive board is situated, to give you an idea. And this is the modern part, our Randwijk campus, where we have the life sciences, medicine, and psychology. This is another type of statistics of Maastricht University. And I'm telling you this to give you context for international recruitment and also our attractions for UK students. And what I think is important is that most of our programs are taught in English. And as I said before we started this program this morning to one of my colleagues here, the difference with many continental universities in Europe is that also our bachelor programs are taught in English, and this is really sort of a comfort for our international students. Although when we have the perspective of the German students, they say, well, Janine, it's very hard for us sometimes to we are taught in English, we have to translate from German to English, and then, of course, we are in this Dutch context, so sometimes they are really confused about where they are because of the language. A large number of our staff is international, and we have an active policy also recruiting staff because we think it's important issue to contribute to the international environment of the university. And as you can see, last year we had a 46% enrollment of international students into our university. Of course, I can understand when people say that's easy for you, because when you look at the location of Maastricht University, if you want to go to Belgium, you take your bicycle and drive across the street, and 5 minutes later you are in Belgium. If you want to go to Germany, it takes a little bit longer, but it's sort of half an hour by car and you're already in Aachen, and it takes you say less than an hour to go to Luxembourg. So it's easy, and you see that also reflected in our student numbers, that the neighboring countries are contributing to this percentage. More interesting, but I will reflect on that later in a slide, is our student exchange, because that's also where the part of Bologna is in. So if you look at Maastricht University and you look at the internationalization, and maybe some of you have heard that we are a university that started in 1976, and I put together some of the data of international students at Maastricht University, and you can see that we already had students coming in at a very early age of our university. But when you look carefully at the graph where you see it really starts growing, it's around this point, and that's the onstart of the Erasmus program. And as a young university, there was a lot of entrepreneurial spirit and a lot of enthusiasm within our faculty to grasp the opportunities Erasmus created for student exchange. Now, you can say, if you look at the blue and the yellow graph, that exchange numbers are not so very impressive. And I think that has an explanation. They are impressive because it's more than 10% of our students actually taking an Erasmus exchange abroad. That brings Maastricht University in the ranking from European institutions contributing to Erasmus mobility in the top 100. And usually you will find in universities when they have Erasmus mobility, it's sort of 1-2%. Maybe 3% of the students. So with the more than 10% at Maastricht University, I think we're doing quite a good job. Incoming mobility, of course, also important. But what's more important is that Erasmus sort of invited the university to think about what is the offer we have, because languages have been mentioned quite often right now, but not many students are willing or courageous enough, I would say, to learn the Dutch language. So we were forced early on to say, we need to do something, and we created this offer in the English language. And then if you look at, say, 2002, because the Bologna Agreement was signed in 1996, and then student universities taking on, with an implementation in the Netherlands and in Maastricht University as one of the early adapters in 2002, which is around here, then you see there nothing is there. And actually what Bologna did for Maastricht University, it created the platform that enabled us to do what we actually already were doing, and that's offering bachelor and master programs in English. And so far, I think we have been sort of successful in that sense. It has a downside as well, because of course you can imagine if you attract a large number of international students who, especially when they are, most of them are from Europe, as you can see from this graph, purple, reddish? It's the Europe. That's the German part, and then the light colored blue, purplish, is a Dutch part. Is that you see that? Of course, there's questions. Why should Dutch society pay for education of students from other countries, whether they are from Europe or not from European countries? So this is currently the student population we have at Maastricht University. So Bologna offered us a lot of opportunities. One of the things it didn't do, it didn't bring us any UK students. And as you will see in one of my later slides, is we are not, as a university, because we are a state university, publicly funded, we are not in there for the money. So it's not about attracting fee-paying students as an important driver for us. It's the international classroom. And we felt that we needed to diversify our population. And I've put together the numbers for British students at our university. And as you can see, that was low until, I think, 2008. From 2006 onwards, we had an active policy attracting students to Maastricht from the UK, because we could see there was a need. There was a need in terms of places primarily. Last year that was added was the need in terms of fees. We could see there was a need, and we thought there would be an opportunity, but it was very hard to attract British students to the university. And well, the graph speaks for itself, is that you can see that we are really sort of at the moment overrun by UK students. Are we happy with that? Yes and no. because it's we are not an ordinary university. We say we're a special university in the Netherlands. Actually, we feel more a European university. And for us, it's important that we attract students who are motivated for the interactive learning, and it means hard work. And that is what we hear from our British students as well, that they say, when we're here and we cannot explain to our friends in the UK that right from the start we really have to work, and that maybe it's not so difficult to get a place here, but it's more difficult to stay in the university and get the pass grades. So work from the start, a lot of essays, a lot of examinations, close guidance is what we provide, and it's sort of in Maastricht. And then you see also the differences in pass rate. I was talking yesterday with one of our British students, Danny Oller, and she said, you know, on average, the pass rate here is 55% after the first year, which is comparatively higher than in the British education system. And I cannot explain my friends that I really have to work and I cannot hang out with them all the time. So that's sort of one part of it, yes and no, because we want this international classroom, and we have been hearing here in the presentations this morning already, it's sort of educating students for life. What we find is that just putting students together in a classroom, and especially since we don't have big lecture halls, so our student groups are between 12 and 15, and they have to really work together, and just putting them together doesn't make them international per se, and doesn't make them successful, and doesn't learn them just by the exposure, the competencies that employers need. So we are reinventing our system of problem-based learning. We call it problem-based learning 2.0, where we really focus on how do we help students not only master the content of the subjects they're studying, but also sort of having this intercultural and international competence that's so sought after at the labor market. And in that sense, I think this is really an attempt to educate students for a globalized market. So what are our experiences with the UK students? It's Well, one of the things that we have, and you see we have been trying since a number of years to attract students, is that there is a clear information gap. And we had the Headmasters Conference, a subcommittee of the Headmasters Conference in Maastricht last January, and they said, you know, it's what you provide here is actually an excellent education, but nobody knows of it. Sort of students don't know what it means, the parents don't know, and also education providers have little idea of what is actually happening in Maastricht as an example of what is possible on the whole continent. The information gap is not there with employers. I'll show you the next slide, and then I'll go back to this one, because what I put here is sort of where do our graduates go to, and in red is the top 25. With UK ranking on the fourth place, and at the moment we have 288 of Maastricht University graduates actually working in the UK. And it's not only British students, but obviously it's all kinds of nationalities and backgrounds that graduated from the university. So the information gap is not there at employer level. It is there, I think, with prospective students and education providers. So back to the experiences with UK students, they fit in very well. And as was already explained, sort of the culture gap between UK and USA, from sort of focused education to more broad-based education, is not there in the Netherlands, because we have the similar system of focused education, and actually students with a high school degree from the USA could not be selected for Maastricht University. They fit very well education-wise, and we had a joke yesterday, because if you look at Dutch students and know a little bit of Dutch culture, it has a little bit of a laissez-faire background. And on if you have a grade point, a grading scale from 0 till 10, with 10 being excellent and only for the teachers, Dutch students are very happy when they have 5.5 and a pass and get a 6. But we'll find our UK students, at least the ones that I know, that they say, we are competing with the Germans, because the Germans all want to have A pluses, and our British students want that too. So we're happy they're there, so they drag our Dutch colleagues, they drag them along. So this is a little bit of our experience with the UK students. I showed you this one. And then, of course, the question why UK students should study abroad from our perspective. We've been talking a lot about language already, and of course, for a Dutch person, we've been complimented on our language ability. English, I think, for UK students is a blessing in disguise, because of course they can come to Maastricht and they can go around not only in the university but in the town and even in the small areas. And maybe the grammar is not perfect, but the people communicate and are not scared to communicate. So if you think about why study abroad, I think language learning should be an essential part of it, because it's not only about the language, and we speak English, all of us, in a way. I give you one example. We had it, of course, if you talk louder, that then maybe people will understand you. I was in France a number of years ago and went to the international office of Paris 4 or 3, I don't know what it was, and I tried in my best French, because my French was not very good at the time, and it still isn't. So I apologized for my really poor French, and then the lady was very friendly and said, "We'll just talk slow," which, of course, was not my intention. I hoped that we could talk in English. Yeah, and then another example is that sort of being able, what you see in the continent of Europe, and what I sort of commend my colleagues in Europe on, is that we try to communicate with our students better and faster. And it means we provide them with more and more information, and we respond quicker and quicker, because now they are consumers. It is also that, you know, if you it's not only the language, it's also the cultural differences. If you talk in English, sometimes you think differently than when you talk in Dutch, or when you, as I speak also a little bit of Danish, when you talk in Danish. And I think that's when you want to get the true experience and the immersion, is being able also to start and attempt thinking in the context of the other cultures, people. And I think that's where language learning is an important one. What you also see is, on whose terms are you internationalizing? Of course, we tend to see a harmonization, but on off, and that's where you bring people out of their comfort zone, is that they have to be, our students need to be confronted with different type of terms, and not in the idea of things being better or worse, but that it's being different, and that you can also work with differences. Another issue that we find very important is internationalization at home, as we see that study abroad is really still very limited and sometimes only for the happy few. We try to make use of international students, or the foreign students, as I say, because being a foreigner doesn't make you international. We try to work with what is there on campus, so that other students who are not mobile can have a similar experience. Of course, we know about Bologna. This was my last sentence. Bologna and the labor market. Bologna, I think, and we should keep in mind that when we think about study abroad, Bologna essentially has been created to support a European labor market. It's sort of a labor market, the economy, the exchange of goods and services, and of skilled labor. And there is, of course, this idea of European citizenship. And I think that's, in the end, what we want to do. We create a society where we can all live happily ever after. So thank you very much. And I'm looking forward to your questions.